Well, I want you to stay in this attitude, but you can have your seats. Of course, if you feel led to give, it's available in the back there. Here's what's going to happen tonight. I'm going to share some scriptures with you. Then we're going to pray for all the workers of the children and the youth first. And then we're going to pray for everybody else last. And I want to pray for the children last. All right? We're going to have a special impartation service tonight, particularly for our youth and children's workers. But how many know, when something overflows, it affects more than just one. Yeah. Amen? So that's what's going to happen tonight. This is like getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Amen? So we're just going to get right into it, because I want to give the maximum time for the Holy Spirit to move through His power and His goodness. We're glad that you're here this evening. It's a special evening. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at a few scriptures. If I talk fast, can you listen fast? After Jesus was tempted, let's go to verse 14, Luke 4 and verse 14. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted, but how did he come back? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say, the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. Into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. If Jesus needed the power of the Spirit, how much more do we need the power of the Spirit? Amen? And Matthew chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 13. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Remember, John said, I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many like the fire part? He brings the heat. He shines the light. Verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Notice it wasn't a dove, it was just descending like a dove. And lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So not only did Jesus get baptized in water, he got baptized in the Spirit. And when was his first miracle? At a wedding, right? The Bible says that was the first of his miracles. So Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Until he had something to come upon him to stir up the gifts that God had put in him. All right? And go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul was expressing his heart here to the Romans. And he was looking to come unto them. In verse 10, it says, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. What we want to do tonight is we want to impart something to you so that you'll be established. How many want to be established? Okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And what we're going to do tonight is nothing new. It's been done throughout the Bible. They did it for the prophet, the priest, and the king. They did it to different people as the Lord led. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and the yoke from off your neck. You want to get some burdens removed tonight? And some yokes removed tonight? And then he said, the yoke off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What is the anointing? It's the power of God. It's the presence of God. It's the person of God in manifestation, in operation. And what he brings is he brings power. And that power can be transferred from one person to another. Amen? And the person doing the transfer is the Lord himself. I mean, he just uses people. God works through people. All right? And just like you can direct electricity, right? You can direct it from here. How do you direct electricity? You wire things. All right? Behind these walls, there are wires. And it directs the electricity so that you have access to power. All right? This is an access point right here. And if you want to get power, what do you got to do? You got to plug it in. Are you plugged in tonight? We want you to get plugged in. Once you're plugged in, then you're going to get stirred up. See, you can't be turned on until you're plugged in. If you're not plugged in, you can flip the switch 100 times and nothing's going to happen. So how do you plug in? You plug in by faith. You plug in by believing God, by believing his word, all right? By opening your heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to move however he wants to move. It's not about what you look like or what happens to you. It's about the effects. What happens if I come up here, and hands get laid on me and I fall down? It's not how you fall down, it's how you get up. Was there something deposited in you? Was there something put in you? Was there something stirred up in you? Did something come on you? Whether you fall or whether you don't, that's not the issue. The issue is, did you receive what God wanted to give you? Go with me to John 14. I better get moving here. I only want to take a few more minutes. I leave the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting. Amen? He's much better at it than anybody is. John 14 and verse 9. Well, verse 19, I'm sorry. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live and you shall live also. At that day you shall know me, and I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. So who loves the Lord? You have his commandments and you keep them, right? And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Tonight is about himself manifesting him to us. Amen? It's about God showing up. It's about, you know, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, but he's not manifested everywhere. He is everywhere, but he's not manifesting himself everywhere. Okay? We want the manifestation of God. Go with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I want your hearts to be stirred. I want you to get so hungry that you become like a dog that begins to salivate. How many know that when the dog sees the bowl and he sees the food or going into the bowl, they begin to salivate, don't they? Why? Because they know that something is about to happen. I want you to get to that point. I want you to be hungry that you know that something is about to happen. Say that with me. Say, something is about to happen in me, to me, and through me. Amen. What's going to happen? God's going to touch you. What happens when God touches you? I don't know. Acts 6. Verse 3. They needed workers in the church. So they told the people, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. And these were some particular qualifications that they looked for. Of honest report, full. Everybody say full. Full of what? Full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, God doesn't want you working for him if you're empty. He wants you full. And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. And notice what happened. Verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So an impartation causes the word of God to spread and for disciples to multiply. So when we get an impartation, God is putting something in us. He's given you an unction to function. Right? What do you put in your cars to run? What do you put in your stomachs to walk? Food. Right? You got to put something in to get something out. Something has to come in order for something to come out. And garbage in, garbage out. But the word of God in, the word of God out. Okay? God told Moses to get Joshua and to bring him before the assembly. And for Moses to lay his hands on him that Joshua could get some of his authority. So Moses did that. He brought him before the assembly. He put his hands on him. And God imparted to Joshua some of Moses' authority so that when Moses' work was done, Joshua's work was beginning. All right? But I want you to know that he anointed him first before he got into that position. You can look at that in Numbers 27. Go with me to Luke 24, and then I'm gonna finish on this one. Luke 24. And then we're going to pray. So who's going to come up first? Workers, teachers, if you're involved in teaching children and teaching youth, we want you to line up And here's what we're going to do. If you come up here, you get prayed for, and you leave here. All right? So then we can make way for the next group of people, okay? So I want you to make, when we call you up for prayer, you can line up around the walls like this. Okay? So you're going to line up like that. You're going to make your way up here, and you're going to go back so it'll be nice and orderly. How many know that God's a God of order? He's not a God of confusion. Okay? Luke 24. And verse 49. God chose a particular day, the day of Pentecost, to pour his Spirit out on all flesh. Okay? And this was scheduled long before. And verse 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father," where? "Upon you." Oh, did you know that God wants to put his promise on you? So tonight, you're going to get covered in his promise. And every one of his promises are potent. They're powerful. Okay? "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until" what? "Until you be endued with power from on high." God wants to give us an endowment tonight of power. Where? From where? From on high. It's power from on high. Okay? And you've got to believe. Okay? Jesus had 12 disciples, right? He told those 12 disciples, he said, "I give you authority and power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to cleanse a leper, to raise the dead. Freely you have received." See, the anointing is free. It's free to you because someone already paid for it. All we have to do is receive it. Amen? And the disciples were able to do the very same things that Jesus did because of what he gave them. Then he gave the same things to 70. So 70 plus 12 is what? 82 plus Jesus, that's 83. And the 70 came back and they were excited. They said, "Demons are subject to us." Because they went and did the same thing that Jesus did. Then there was 120 people that tarried in Jerusalem for the promise on the day of Pentecost. So we went from 12 to 83 to 120, and then from there it really multiplied. Okay? But Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Why? Because he wants you to be witnesses. Jesus doesn't have weak, wimpy witnesses. He has strong, mighty servants that are endued with power from on high. Okay? So, if you're a teacher of children or youth, I want you to make your way up right now. And we're going to pray. Our workers are going to get prayed for first. Then anybody else who wants to can come and get prayed for. Then I want to pray for our children. Okay? What about? If you can pray in tongues, I want you to pray in tongues for a little bit. When you pray in tongues, you're praying to God. And you charge yourself. All right, I want you to make your way up here. Make a line right here, shoulder to shoulder. And once the line is full, then we'll wait until they're prayed for. And then when they're prayed for,